This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Starting with your commodities on the Chicago Board of Trade, March corn finished up 1 cent at 379 and a quarter. May corn finished up a half at 387 and a half. And July corn finished up a half at 395 and a quarter. Soybeans for March finished up 0.75 cents at 918 and a half. May beans finished up 1 penny at 932 and a half. And July beans finished up 0.75 cents at 945. Chicago wheat for March finished up 1.5 cents at 525 3/4. May wheat finished up 1.5 as well at 529 3/4. And July wheat finished up 1.25 cents at 533 1/4. Soybean meal for March finished down $1.20 at $310.60. May bean meal finished down $1.20 as well at $314.60. And July bean meal finished down $1.20 as well at $318.40. Finally, soybean oil for March finished up 24 cents at $30.13. May bean oil finished up 23 cents at $30.44. And July bean oil finished up 23 cents as well at $30.74. Now we'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture for Monday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Monday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Monday afternoon. Soybeans only showed minor strength as reports of China purchasing U.S. soybeans. In northern western Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids a penny higher, 336 to 363. Soybean bids were mostly a penny higher at 834 to 861. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids a penny higher, 345 to 363. Soybean bids were steady to a penny lower at 850 to 871. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were a penny higher at 348 to 379. Soybean bids were 1 to 2 cents higher at 855 to 887. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were a penny higher at 881 to 899. Basis is steady at 38 under to 20 under the March. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis is offered at 285.60 to $300.60, down $1.20 a ton with basis unchanged at 2500 to 10 under the March. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 1 to 2 cents higher at 349 to 373, with basis steady to up 1 at 30 under to 6 under the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators coated to produce corn bids 2 to 3 cents higher at 368 to 375, with basis up 1 to 2 at 11 under to 4 under the March. Soybeans ended up 2 to 3 cents at 872 to 881, with basis up 2 to 3 at 47 under to 38 under the March. New crop wheat prices are 1 to 4 cents higher at 498 to 520, with basis unchanged up 3 at 35 under to 13 under the July. East St. Louis barge floating terminal elevators place their producer corn bids steady to a penny higher at 392 to 393. These elevators raise their soybean prices 1 to 3 cents, quotations at $9 to 901. Soft wheat closed up 2 to 6 cents at 560 to 561. And Milo ended the day a penny higher at 423 to 424. Contract bids for producers for fall delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 349 to 368. Soybeans at 875 to 903. In the central part of the state, corn for fall delivery at 358 to 374. Soybeans at 891 to 921. And in the southern part of the state, corn for fall delivery at 343 to 378. Soybeans at 878 to 909. And June-July wheat at $5 to $5.30. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. February live cattle finished up 27 cents at 125.72. April live cattle finished up 72 cents at $127 even. And June live cattle finished up 85 cents at $117 even. Feeder cattle for March finished up $1.70 at $144.22 a head. April feeders finished up $1.82 at $145.82. And May feeders finished up $1.77 at $146.37. Finally, lean hogs for February finished up $1.02 at $57.37 a head. April hogs finished up $2.92 at $63.05, and May lean hogs finished up $2.17 at $69.82. Now we'll move on to the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture for Monday's Cash Livestock Reports.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 21 cents higher in a range of $46 to $51.28 with the weighted average carcass price of $50.59. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices are steady to a dollar higher with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 18 to 24, 4 to 500 pounds at 20 to 28, 5 to 600 pounds at 22 to 32, over 600 pounds at 25 to 36. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrels and gilts at the country buying points are steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 28 to 37. Receipts for Illinois barrows and gilts totaled $25,797. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 257 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $68.12, which was $1.13 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading higher. Choice carcasses are $217.65, which was $3.39 higher, with select carcasses at $213.41, which was 26 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 118,000 compared to 118,000 for last week and 112,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 478,000 compared to 470,000 for last week and 461,000 for 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
President Trump plans to press key issues of importance to agriculture in tonight's State of the Union address. Trump, in his third primetime address to the nation from the U.S. House chamber, will call on Congress to work with him on several fronts: infrastructure, lowering health care costs, immigration reform, ratifying the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, and confronting China on unfair trade practices. However, Trump will continue to face a hostile reception from Democrats amid a fierce standoff over his efforts to build a border wall and the longest ever government shutdown, with another shutdown deadline on the 15th. American Farm Bureau Federation trade advisor Dave Samuelson says politics is key for doing things like trade deals, including ratifying the USMCA.
That got bipartisan support. It was certainly a long-term talking point for a lot of people on the Democrat side. I think they're willing to engage on the agreement, but you have to have the right political environment.
AFBF's Director of Advocacy and Political Affairs, Cody Lyon, says much will depend on how aggressively Majority House Democrats investigate the president and his administration.
The incoming chairs are just chomping at the bit to start their investigations of the president on a variety of different areas. I think that's going to determine what's going to be the tone for the 116th Congress.
And whether the House and Senate, where Republicans expanded their majority, can work together on farm trade and infrastructure. AFBF Executive Director Dale Moore says,
the repair, the maintenance, and more to the point, in some cases, replacement of our locks and dams infrastructure is so critical to agriculture in so many different parts of the country.
But ahead of any new possible deals on infrastructure, Washington faces more fighting on homeland security and a border wall that Trump threatens to fund by declaring a national emergency. And an under-the-radar fight over food stamp work requirements kept out of the farm bill. But the USDA is moving ahead with thorough regulations. The United States exported a record-breaking 2.6 billion bushels of U.S. soy and soy products, valued at more than $28 billion last market year, ending in September. The U.S. also set a record high in combined volume of the whole soybeans, soybean meal, and soybean oil exported in 2017 and 2018, with soybean meal exports accounting for the greatest growth. The records were achieved despite the ongoing trade war with China that hindered U.S. soybean exports. However, the official marketing year runs from October 1st to September the 30th, and the exports during the 2017-2018 marketing year would not have been largely impacted by the tariffs introduced by China, as shipments abroad normally take place after harvest. In response to the data, U.S. Soybean Export Council Chairman and United Soybean Board Director Derek Hagwood says at a time when global trade flows have dramatically changed, it is critical that we ensure access in all markets that want to purchase U.S. soybeans and soy products. Moving into a new year provides a great opportunity to reflect on what is to come for crop nutrition. Michael Clemens has the report.
Dr. Ryan Bartlett, Vice President, Innovation and Product Development at Compass Minerals Plant Nutrition, discusses the future of plant nutrition, including how innovations, new products, and technology will come together to improve yields for growers across the country. He provides an outlook for the industry in 2019.
I think it's important to consider this as we look at whole farm practice, and farmers are going to continue to scrutinize their inputs, of course, as they look at becoming more profitable across their acres. So I think as it specifically relates to plant nutrition, we're going to have to continue to justify the value of those products across the acre and begin to help farmers think beyond the practice of simply applying fertilizer in the fall or in the spring and start thinking about a systems feeding approach throughout the season.
Compass Minerals Plant Nutrition is helping the industry evolve with a commitment to innovation.
So if we think about a lot of the fertility practice that a row crop farmer might be using in corn or soybeans, some of those practices may have been developed in the 50s or the 60s. We know a lot more about our crops today. Our crops have a lot more genetic potential today. With the trait technologies that we have, the crop protection technologies that we have, we also have an opportunity to update our plant nutrition practices to be more efficient throughout the season so that a grower can see a more consistent return on that fertilizer investment.
He says it takes an industry-wide approach.
I don't think any one of us that are playing in it today have a large enough set of resources to be able to move the needle on our own. So I think that this is going to have to take an industry approach to help us develop next-generation fertilizer technologies, and that could be through collaborations with other industry partners, collaborations with our land-grant universities, and really working outside of the normal channels to make sure that we're bringing the best solution to the farmers so that they can be more efficient, make more data-driven decisions, and ultimately drive a better return on their farm.
He says there are other factors in plant nutrition helping to drive innovation.
I think as we continue to focus on the four R's, it's important for us to continue to look at how can we close the yield gap that the growers are seeing today, the difference between the optimal genetic potential that we have and the average yield that we're seeing on farms. There's a big gap for us to start to work on. But then also going back to the efficiency and sustainability message, how can we make better use of the NPK that we're putting out through the right micronutrients, the right microbials, and the right biostimulants? And then those also drive water use efficiencies, making sure that we're using it to the best of our ability and really using plant nutrition to help harness all that we have there from a genetic potential perspective.
Learn more online at compasscrops.com. Michael Clements reporting.
In state news, the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, or NAS, is conducting a survey of Illinois farmers for the Illinois Nutrient Research and Education Council to measure a number of management practices, including the use of cover crops, timing of fertilizer applications, and methods of determining nitrogen application rates. In addition, the survey will measure edge-of-field practices, including woodchip bioreactors, constructed wetlands, and saturated buffers. More than 1,000 questionnaires were mailed to producers, and everyone is encouraged to respond using the postage-paid envelope that was provided. That's the best way to save taxpayer dollars and still gather information from the best source possible, the farmers themselves, says Mark Sloysener, the Illinois State Statistician for NAS. Every individual report is confidential by law and is also exempt from the Freedom of Information Act. NAS will only publish and share state totals and averages, never individual farm data. NAS staff intended to mail the surveys in early January, but the federal government shutdown caused the delay. 1 month after the first mailings, NASS will mail another correspondence to producers who have not yet responded. And finally, NASS will use its St. Louis Calling Center to call those who did not respond to either mailing. Our goal is to get the highest response we can and still stay under budget, said Sloysener. Results from the survey will be published in August, and for more information, you can contact NASA's Heartland Regional Field Office at 800-551-1014. It's time to get a head start on the upcoming garden season by starting seedlings indoors. The U of I Extension will host a Starting Seeds Indoors workshop held at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. Join University of Illinois Extension horticulture educator Andrew Holsinger as he presents a variety of techniques for starting seeds indoors. This program will take place next Wednesday, February the 13th, from 1:30 to 3 o'clock p.m. The cost for this program is $5 per person, and it will include handouts. You can pre-register by visiting the website at go.illinois.edu/CJMM or by calling the Hillsboro Extension Office at 217-532-3941. And they ask for you to register by next Tuesday, February the 12th. And coming up this weekend, the Hillsboro FFA will be holding their annual Krispy Kreme donut sale on Saturday morning, the 9th. Donuts can be purchased at the Hillsboro CNB Bank, the Taylor Springs Community Center, the Irving Creamery, and the Security National Bank in Witt and Coffeen. For this Tuesday morning, February the 5th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.